out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, the 9th of March, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. We would normally have Florian Geyer with us today. He will be back next Friday. Never fear. But we are welcoming today back to the show Alison Chablow to talk about her court case. And I'm sure everyone has already listened to the Monday episode where we were talking about what she was expecting to find when she actually got there. And on Wednesday, I did say that we had news from Ian Millard that the case had been postponed for written evidence. And it actually turns out that it wasn't just stopped for written evidence. Alison did get a chance to have her say, and I've seen some really good reports of it actually in the Jewish press of all sources. So Alison, welcome to the show. How are you doing today? And yeah, it sounds like you had a good chance to actually speak your case at last. Is that true?
Hello, Sven. Thanks for your invitation again. It's nice to be back so soon. Yes, I did have a chance. I was cross-examined by both my own counsel and prosecution counsel, Karen Robinson. My own counsel's cross-examination only lasted a few minutes, just to set the record straight that I am a professionally trained musician. And then the cross-examination started from Miss Robinson, which lasted about 2 hours with a short break in the middle. Lots of people were there to lend support. I'm very, very grateful for that. There were more there yesterday than in January. In fact, the judge allowed some of the people who were couldn't find a seat to come into the court itself and sit on the back row. How did it go? Well, it was quite grueling. The prosecution. You mentioned the two articles from the Jewish press. Yes, they are fairly well balanced articles, I would say, unlike the article of the Daily Mail, which, in fact, perhaps I'm incorrect saying there, but their headline again is deliberately misleading. They claim that I say the Holocaust was misleading, and that's absolutely not true. I told Ms. Robinson that the term Holocaust denier was meaningless. Perhaps we'll go into that if you like later. But at the end of the proceeding, and I think I might have mentioned this when we talked the other day, I wasn't particularly expecting a verdict to be delivered yesterday, although my barrister, Adrian Davis, said he was expecting everything to be over. This has dragged on for long enough as it is. But the judge said that, you know, we heard my evidence back in January. We heard the prosecution evidence back in January. Yesterday, we heard my evidence. And now he wishes for written closing submissions from both parties. So that's going to take 2 or 3 weeks. And then the only available dates in the near future to be able to there will be a short hearing, 1 hour, where both parties will be able to verbally deliver their closing submissions. And a week later, on the 25th of May, the judge will give his verdict. The prosecution's questioning was aimed at, I would say, trying to pin me down as being somebody who is a desperate Jew hater, let's say, somebody who would say that, for example, that the Holocaust didn't happen, but it should have happened because all Jews are hateful, evil people. So I argued strongly against her in that respect, I think, especially regards my songs being satirical. That's even in the title and certainly in the meta tags of all songs that I uploaded. That can be seen, I think, in the London performance, London Forum performances as well. There was a number of groans from the public gallery from Miss Robinson's clear attempts to paint me as a wicked, a profoundly wicked racist and anti-Semite. Some of her own statements have been immortalized in tweets I see, especially about me saying that I was very disturbed that the white population in my own country was diminishing, whereas ethnic populations were increasing. Therefore, in a couple of generations, we are likely to be not only the minority, as is already the case in our capital city, London, but pretty much countrywide. And she claimed that the fact that I'd said in a police interview that seeing the white race disappears breaks my heart was simple and utter and abject racism. Well, that got a huge groan from the public gallery. there were other moments of applause when I was applauded. So that was good. I've not really had the chance to kind of sit down and think about it all properly. I just felt exhausted. Of course, we all went, my supporters and I, we went out celebrated, let off steam, shall we say, in a local watering hole near Marylebone. But yes, I've been feeling quite exhausted. And the Daily Mail, at the end, the judge, I pleaded with the judge that he not print my address, but the Daily Mail went ahead anyway and printed my full address in full. This now, I believe, in it, the Daily Mail, now owned by American Jews, and they are really trying to pin me down as well as being a wicked, wicked anti-Semite, who deserves to be locked up and thus start the ball rolling for further loss of freedoms in our supposed democratic countries.
Well, as I say, I haven't seen the Daily Mail report, but I did think that the Times of Israel, I mean, they called you a performer, which is good. And yes, I think some of the points that you were making, they just wouldn't be able to be printed in 17 European Union countries. And the fact that the Times of Israel was saying that you questioned the fact that there was no investigation of gas chambers, there was no proof for gas chambers. The number of Jews that were supposedly gassed, all of these sorts of things, you wouldn't be able to read about that in Germany, and it's in the Times of Israel. So I hope the Daily Mail managed to print some of those points as well, because when they say, "Oh, Holocaust deniers," they never actually point out what it is that we question, and you managed to do that, which, you know, I'm quite impressed with that, and it's good that you know, the Times of Israel reported it. So
I agree. It was a fair report of the trial, and to be fair, the Daily Mail as well, they give an even more detailed account of the questioning and answers than even Mrs. Fraser in the Times of Israel. Yes, I mentioned that as well, that the reason why I went down this path was after seeing how Holocaust revisionists in Europe are persecuted, even put in jail for their opinions. And of course, I brought in the fact that I'd always learned since being a child that the Second World War, in which my grandfather was a soldier and lost his life age 23, I'd always been taught that this kind of sacrifice was there to guarantee our freedoms. The other thing I regret not saying, as well as I mentioned to you before we started recording, is the first one was I didn't make a good enough distinction between anti-Semitic and anti-Jewish. You know, that the word anti-Semitic is also a misnomer. And I've lost my thread with the first one. So just let's keep going and it'll come back. I am really feeling quite exhausted after my ordeal. And there were things before, that in the days before, you know, my enemy, or our enemy, I'm sure that these things were set up to deliberately put me on the wrong foot before my cross-examination yesterday, to deliberately destabilize me emotionally before the hearing went on. But I knew I had to keep my strength, and I did as well as I could on the day. But I was already feeling tired before I went into the witness stand. It's just the way things go. It's the way it's life. It's the way we all have to live our lives and carry on and keep fighting for.
They did the same to David Irving. They did the same to David Irving, didn't they? They tried to put him off balance and do everything they could to to drain him and put the trial at certain times when he was having all sorts of problems with his family, I believe. That's to be expected that they're going to do that. And to put your address out, that they're doing that so that you can be targeted for harassment. I mean, this is a court case that's going on at the time. They don't allow comments, on these court cases usually, although I believe they did on your last one. And surely they can't put out the address of the people that are in court at that time. Surely there must be some law against that.
The judge was quite, he didn't place an order on the press not to print my address, but he made it clear that it's a sensitive case and that nothing that was unnecessary needed to, should be printed. And the fact that this young scribbler went ahead and did that just proves another aspect of the maliciousness of this case against me. That's what I was going to say, that the Holocaust is used as all sorts of reasons to not only justify the criminal state of Israel, that the press were quite good in reporting about that aspect, but there's also the censorship of artists. We're told that during Nazi Germany, artists were censored and weren't able to perform, and that nowadays this kind of thing would be absolutely unthinkable. I heard this from a BBC Radio 4 journalist talking about classical musicians who were banned by the Third Reich. And this was, we know, in a time of when world Jewry had declared a boycott on all German goods. We can certainly argue that the Reich was therefore within its full rights to censor those that were clearly the enemy of the state that had been democratically voted to power. So what is happening with this case? And my songs, the lyrics of my songs, there was a very deep questioning on the lyrics of my songs. For example, I like the story as it is, which has got the word satire in the title. And I was very careful when I uploaded these songs. That had, incidentally, my urge to publish this song at that particular time was that I began receiving more anonymous posts sent to me, addressed to Mrs. Holocaust Denier, to my address. But the police don't want to know about that. They're not interested in investigating for malicious communications when it's somebody else actually sending me anonymous post to my address. All I did was upload a link to the internet. The people that reported me, they had to, in the first place, search. I didn't send my songs to them. And the lyrics of my songs, there's nothing in there that's not already being reported, either in texts, in books, by revisionists, even in courts. For example, Sundel trials, the trials of Professor Faurisson in France. There's nothing in there that's not already been said. So clearly it's the fact that I'm putting these ideas that have already existed, that already exist, these theories, these scientific hard facts regarding the lack of proof of alleged homicidal gas chambers, the disparity of the numbers. I did get the changing of the Auschwitz plaque in there. Where we are. There's nothing in my songs that hasn't already been reported. It's just the fact that they're set to music, I think, and in that aspect, our enemy know that music is a powerful tool. They've certainly used it against us, as I mentioned during our last chat, the Christmas music that's been taken and parodied to undermine Christian belief.
They just can't take a joke. This is what it is. And what you've got is you've got people that can't take a joke, that think that because they can't take a joke, they can use the law to silence people from making jokes. And that's just not on. And any court in the land, any judge that is actually genuine on the side of law and order is going to support you and is going to see that this is a case that, you know, they cannot get away with this, because it means that you are restricted about making jokes about anyone. And it shows you that we have this elevated group in our society that you're not allowed to criticize. You're not allowed to make jokes about them. You're not allowed to make jokes about admitted frauds just because they are Jewish. And you're not picking on them for being Jewish. I mean, you were picking out specific people that have lied about what happened in the Holocaust and have been proved to have lied about that. You're picking on specific people and making light of that fact. You're not saying all Jews. You've named them. Irene Zizblatt, Eli Wiesel. You know, you mentioned these people, so they cannot say that you're just saying all Jews, because you're picking on specific ones. You're highlighting specific ones rather than picking on them, and then making jokes about them, which is exactly what every comedian in the land does. I mean, that's what you are. You're a comedian, and they're saying that your jokes are grossly offensive, and yet if they were grossly offensive, you wouldn't have an audience that's laughing. And so what's wrong with being grossly offensive? Don't we have Roy Chubby Brown? Don't we have a grand tradition of incredibly offensive comedians that come out with the bluest of jokes? And yours aren't blue, they're just satirical.
The Irene Zisblatt last line about the diamonds coming out the other end. I was accused of using deliberately grossly offensive language. No, I use the word shat. That's it. And the three brackets around survivors, that was also clearly that I would be targeting all Jews with my songs, and that, in fact, I wrote and uploaded these songs and chose Jewish melodies to reinforce certain points would be proof that I would be deliberately provoking Jews and being just a dreadful person. That was the implication of the prosecution's argument, the implication of her questions. And yes, that I said that my songs, some people might find them offensive, but it cannot be argued that they are grossly offensive. Let's have a look at, I managed to get the Belson was a gas, Sex Pistols argument in there. My accusers are offended that they're being laughed at. Yet there's the Kenny Everett, Barbara Streisand sketch. You can go and have a look at that on the internet. Well, I would say that that's clearly more an example of somebody targeting all Jews than inoffensive than my own songs.
I think the thing is, people choose to be offended, don't they? It's a personal choice whether you are going to be offended at something. And all it is words. And the people that are offended at this, they have made a deliberate choice to click on your work. They've made a deliberate choice to search out your work, to click on your work. And then instead of laughing at themselves, which is what most other people do. I mean, that is a mark of maturity, is being able to laugh at yourself. Instead of that, they've chosen to try and make a court case out of this, believing that that's a perfectly fine and acceptable thing to do. Whereas, you know, we laugh at politicians all the time. We have people that, like Rory Bremner, that do imitations of politicians and laugh at them and joke about them. And that's all you have done. You're just joking about certain people in the Jewish community that have done ridiculous things, things that are, you know, which are funny, like Irene Zizblatt swallowing her diamonds and pooping them out every day and eating them again. I mean, it's just a ludicrous story that you are pointing at. And, you know, for them to complain about this, it goes right against everything that people understand as being British, because we've always had a tradition of humour. We've always had a tradition of poking fun at politicians. You know, it's been written into the laws that we are allowed to poke fun at politicians, and they don't have a right to not be offended. Nobody has a right to to not be offended. You know, because it's a personal choice whether you are offended or not. You can't make a law to say people have a right not to be offended, because that means that whoever it is that the law is written for can just say, "Oh, I'm offended about this person." And that person would then have to be locked up. It was effectively giving a certain group in society the power to have anybody locked up whenever they feel like it. They could say, I'm offended at this.
Yes, and the other worrying thing regards all that is that, you know, I really did hammer the point in this that my work, it's songs. So clearly, by attacking me in this way to bring about by the back door a kind of Holocaust denial law, it's a misuse of the law, and it's a political prosecution. Back in the 17th, 18th century, there was still the Lord Chamberlain, who had the right to censor any kind of theatre that would criticise those in power, the regimes at the time. This was modified and eventually thrown out. I think there was an early last century, a first Theatres Act. Then there's another Theatres Act that is still in place today, I think 1968, perhaps. The musical Hair was, I think, the first. I think it contained some kind of vague nudity, but this was allowed to be passed, and that all theatrical, there was no more censorship of any kind of theatrical work. So what would be the onus of a guilty verdict in my case is that people like Ricky Gervais, who went on the radio the other day and said that he would rather have Hitler to dinner than a child with food allergies. So he manages to offend several groups at the same time. If my case is given granted a guilty verdict, then all of these artists who make a living out of being offensive, and not only artists but journalists, in the vein I'm thinking of Katie Hopkins, for example, well, they would risk also prosecution on this, under this act, under the Malicious Communications Act.